It's, as I mentioned, it's a pleasure to be back worshiping with you at St. Mark's again. It seems like a number of years since Nancy and I were worshiping here. I've been back once to preach, but it still feels like there's a lot of familiar faces, and it's nice to be here with you. I'd like to start by sharing an experience I had last fall. Many of you might know that I am an elementary teacher, employed with the Durham Board of Education. But last fall, I took a half-time unpaid leave from teaching. I taught half-time. And then half the time, I would run and get a GO train and run to Toronto to study half-time at Emmanuel College, the United Church Seminary in Toronto. Sometimes it felt like I was going 100 kilometers an hour in two different directions, but that was still a great experience. I taught in the mornings, a grade 5 class, with all the busyness and work that goes with the class. Anybody that's a teacher or has been a teacher knows the work involved in teaching, in marking, in planning. Getting to know students and their needs. But then I had the experience in the afternoons of being in a scholarly environment. Myself, the first time in a couple of decades. Yeah, I had to do upgrading as a teacher before that, take night school classes, but not go to a place where I was immersed in academia at that level. It was a real exercise in organization, organizing time, managing, be on top of things in two different arenas. It gave me a real appreciation for that time I spent on the GO train traveling up to Toronto. When I wasn't really in control of the situation, the train had to go there, I couldn't make it go any faster, and I was stuck there. Sometimes I could use the time to catch up on readings or schoolwork if I needed to. Sometimes I even ran into your minister, Reverend Deb Foster, who was also going to a class at Emmanuel. And we would have really high-level discussions on the train about either her classes or my classes or both. Really deep subjects that I learned a lot from. But sometimes I was just by myself. It was time that I could think and process, think about what I was doing and learning, and pray. The quiet and the solace was very enjoyable. And the whole experience was an exercise in balance. Balance in life as both a learner and a worker. And managing that schedule of being both. It kind of gave me a perspective that I needed to be reminded of. And I was reminded again in looking at the scripture story that Gail read for us today. Our gospel, it's a short gospel this morning from Luke. It's kind of sandwiched in between two other really well-known stories. And I won't go too heavily into them in case your other worship leaders are following the lectionary. But last week we heard about the Good Samaritan. And then we have our story this week with Mary and Martha. And next great week, another familiar passage about the Lord's Prayer. That's so familiar that we've already prayed it this morning. But this week, we focus on that story of two sisters. The Mary and Martha passage. It says Jesus went to a certain village. We can piece together that it might have been Bethany that they were talking about, but it doesn't really say in this passage. And it says that Jesus was welcomed into the home of a woman named Martha. So we need to know right off the bat that Martha was a welcoming, hospitable person. And she started to make preparations for hosting Jesus. Maybe the disciples as well. It doesn't really say how many were staying there. but she was making preparations. She may have recognized something special about Jesus that she wanted to learn about and be near, but she knows that she has tasks that need to be taken care of, food to prepare, maybe cleaning to do. Now Martha has another sister, Mary, who it tells us didn't jump up and help Martha with her tasks, instead went and sat at Jesus' feet and listened intently to what he was saying. Well, so far we've learned two things. That Martha is welcoming and hospitable and works hard, and Mary is attentive to what Jesus has said. Martha is distracted, it says, by her many tasks. And then she came and said to Jesus. Notice she doesn't go to her sister herself. She goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get up and help me." You ever heard that in life? Have we ever felt that in life? We'd like someone to get up and help us. Essentially, she says, "This isn't fair. I'm doing all the work." And we heard the children talk about that. That we often hear siblings squabble. Why can't she help me with this? And Jesus is placed as the arbiter in this situation. Clearly, Martha sees the housework. Cleaning the house, preparing the meal, as the priority. Martha has that priority. Mary has another priority. Now, before we get into what Jesus does say, let's hear what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "You are right, making my meal is a real priority. Feeding us is a priority." He doesn't say, "Mary, get up and help your sister." And notice he also doesn't say, "Let me help you with that, Martha. We can get the work done quicker so that you can sit and join us after the work is done." He also doesn't turn to one of his male disciples and say, if they were there, "You get up and help Martha." We don't hear him saying that. We know that Jewish society was patriarchal. They had very defined roles. Work for men and women. And this passage has also been taken as a comment by Jesus about women as disciples and having a role in discipleship. What does Jesus actually say? He says, "Martha, Martha, you are distracted and worried by many things. There is a need of only one thing." We can apply right now. Mary has chosen the better part, and that's not going to be taken away from her. It seems almost as if Jesus scolds Martha for her request. Tells Martha to leave Mary alone. What Mary is doing is appropriate. He doesn't tell Martha to stop doing what she's doing. He doesn't say you shouldn't be doing those tasks. Sounds like people still need to be fed. But he praises Mary for being diligent in listening to him and learning. We notice that Jesus never focuses on the household chores. He doesn't say, "Blessed are those who keep a clean house, for they have already possessed the kingdom of heaven." We know the benefits today of being cleanly, of cleanliness as a contributor to being healthy. But there are the other things that are important too. Both are important. This passage is often taught in terms of gender and the roles of women in Christianity. But I think there are important lessons, different lessons in this story for all of us. No matter who we are, what gender we identify as, what age or profession we have. And I would invite you to put yourselves in the different roles, the shoes of the different characters, as we analyze this story. First, Martha. Most of us can probably relate with Martha. As adults, we have responsibilities. Even teenagers typically have responsibilities. Duties at home, whether it's cooking or cleaning or laundry or childcare and parenting, keeping cars operating and repairs and home maintenance. We have lots to do in our lives at home. Many of us may take leadership responsibilities in our communities with different organizations, not the least of which is the church. Many of us use our gifts and skills in our church community, doing much needed tasks, whether it's property maintenance or leadership with the board, teaching roles with Christian education, hospitality, finance, worship, music. There's lots of things to be done in the church and responsibilities to take for both men and women. And both men and women are working longer these days to make a living for ourselves as well, to live the lifestyle that we choose to live. Fulfilling our responsibilities are important for a variety of reasons. And often we worry about doing a good job and not letting others down. This is the role of Martha. She does not want to let her guests down. She particularly doesn't want to let Jesus down. And then we have the role of Mary. She may have recognized that this is an opportunity to learn, to grow as a person. There was something that held her focus about Jesus, something she could learn from him. She was able to shut out the distractions of all the tasks that needed to be done. And then Mary was focused on. Mary had the discipline to keep her attention on what she thought was most important at that moment. That was learning from Jesus. Like a teacher that likes their students focused on the lesson, Jesus agrees. Jesus likes that she is focused on him. Did Mary, as we know now, did she know that there would be a short time to learn from Jesus, that the Romans and the Jewish leaders would end his ministry not that far down the road? Probably she did not know that. But something about Jesus held her attention and kept her listening to his teaching and his wisdom. We need that discipline of listening as well as Christians. We need that role of Mary in our lives, that discipline to focus on what's really important, not just urgent, those urgent things in our lives, but the really important things. Martha was focused on the urgent tasks. Mary was focused on what was important, that time to learn. We need that, those things in our lives. The time to learn, the time to reflect, the time to take stock. We need those to lead balanced, whole Christian lives. We need a time to pray and commune with God. As the hymn line says, walk humbly with our God. A friend and minister I know, Reverend Larry Doyle, uses the term knee time. We need knee time in our lives. And that has nothing to do with the posture or positioning of prayer. For those that have bad knees, we can pray in any position. And it's not necessarily the words we speak. God knows our needs and our thoughts and what we would ask for in prayer. I won't go any farther on prayer in case your worship leader is preaching on that next week. But that knee time, which Reverend Larry often interprets as knee time, not time to be selfish, but a time to be still and be with our thoughts and prayers, and time to listen to God's call. time to listen for that small, quiet voice of God that we are frequently moving too fast in life to notice. It's about a time to regenerate ourselves, those cells that get worn down by the Martha side of our lives. And whether we rebuild that with exercise or learning, classes if necessary, but not necessarily classes, reading, discussion groups, book and Bible study. I remember a minister who was a mentor of mine when I was much younger. I still know this person, but when he was leading a very active ministry in a big church, he also spent time with his family, but he also took time for artwork, both music and visual arts, often watercolors, and showed real attention to detail. Balance. He showed leadership and balance in his life. We need to show balance in our lives. There are very valid reasons why the United Church of Canada has adopted a policy of sabbatical leaves, a leave every 5 years for clergy today. And my church in Bowmanville, St. Paul's, along with Trinity, two blocks away, are preparing for that process. Their minister, Reverend Jen, is going on sabbatical leave this fall, and our minister, Reverend Michelle, is going next summer. We are in the process of preparing for that. And the members of St. Paul's feel we've learned the hard way that this is really important to do, that the benefits of having our minister take sabbatical leave. We have had ministers in the past that were beloved, but either moved on early or went on sick leave due to burnout, to the stress put on by the work done in ministry. St. Paul's has learned that hard way. It's better to be proactive and give sabbatical time for ministers to protect and maintain that minister's health rather than lose them in a sadder, more difficult. Ministers are people we look to as role models, but frequently are people that go at that breakneck speed in their ministry and need to find time to set aside from those responsibilities and focus on learning and recharging the mirror and taking that Mary role in life. To be most effective as servants of Christ's message in ministry, we must be healthy ourselves and balanced. And that's tough to do in this fast-paced society we live in. We all need to maintain balance in our lives and the discipline to balance work, study, prayer, and growth. We need to respect other people as well, doing that same thing in their lives, being balanced. To me, this is an important message that we can draw from the story of Mary and Martha, no matter who we are. Now, we can only make judgments in our own lives, but here's a good chance to ask some questions in our lives. Kristen Berkey Abbott has made this list of questions that we could ask from the different perspectives in our story today. Questions that we could ask from the Martha perspective. What distracts us from the important work that we know must be done? How do we determine what work is important and which work doesn't really matter? Or put another way, what things in our schedule are actually important as opposed to urgent? They may need to get done right away, but are they significant to our lives? Can we recognize the difference? What work do we turn into an idol? If Jesus sat in our living room, how would he direct our attention? And here are some questions from the Mary perspective. What's the important message that sustains our lives or your life? How do you hear God's voice amid the noise of the chores and the busyness of life? Are you in danger of neglecting the upkeep work that must be done? Who is doing work so that you have time to sit with those important issues? And finally, who needs to hear the words thank you for the work they do? And we don't often put ourselves in the role of Jesus, but here's a couple of questions that we could think of in looking at Jesus' perspective. Who around us simmers with anger and frustration, like Martha? And how can we help diffuse that anger and frustration when it happens? How can we help create meaningful encounters with people who we feel may not be focused on the most important things? How do we do that tactfully? In conclusion, leading a Christian ethical life is not easy. Leading a balanced, healthy life frequently is not easy. It's important for us to really be effective in our lives, but it's tough, especially in our fast-paced modern society. Balancing the many elements of our modern lives is tough. The good news is that God walks with us in all our journeys and decisions in life, the hard and the easy, the pleasant and the challenging, especially in the challenging times. No matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter what mistakes we have made in life, God walks with us. Always. Thanks be to God. Amen.